In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Christian church on earth is home to many remarkably rich works of art. Marvelous theology can be captured through art that faithfully depicts deep truth and inspires the heart and the mind. There is a church in Sweden called Sofia Albertina that beautifully captures the divine reality we see in our gospel reading for today from St. Mark. Right above the altar in this church is this magnificent painting. Huddled around the risen messianic figure of Christ is a multitude of people in various states of anguish. The title of the painting is Christus Consolator. A consolator or consolator is one who consoles. One who consoles. However, according to Merriam-Webster, the word consolator is considered obsolete today. You don't hear it as often, and even my Microsoft Word shows a ready, wavy underline for that word. We are more used to hear a similar word, more common to us, you know, the word consolation. But nowadays, consolation is almost synonymous to, like, with loser. Who here has ever received a consolation prize? And if you did, tell me, were you really consoled by a consolation prize? You just lost in front of a bunch of people and someone extends to you a little ribbon or a trophy. And they tell you, go home and console yourself with this consolation prize. You just lost, but here's something to make you feel a little better. A consolation prize may be useful for some occasions. But the people in this painting don't strike me as those who could make do with just a consolation ribbon. A prisoner in chains is looking for relief from his sins. A crippled man sitting has seemingly lost the will to live. A man so poor and skinny and wonders where he can find hope. A widow huddles beneath the fold of Christ's garment. An orphan looks out at us, hopeless. A doubting Thomas type in the back wrestles with his skepticism. They all represent the countless people through the ages who have encountered Christ the Consolator. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Jesus says in Matthew 11. We do find refuge in him, the Consolator. And this delightful image in the Sofia Albertina Church pairs twin realities that blend into one. The divine consoler is welcoming the distress. And the painting hangs directly above an altar. That's precisely where our consolation is found. That's precisely where Christ the Consolator welcomes us. Where we find rest. Where he where he gives us the supreme comfort of his love, his forgiveness, his death and resurrection, his life, and his heaven. The painting belongs above an altar. That painting makes sense hanging over an altar. Jesus walks into a sick room. Peter's mother-in-law is suffering with a fever. According to the Gospel of Luke, it's a high fever. In those days, before antibiotics, such fevers were a real threat to life. Interesting that this woman is left nameless. This is kind of a surprise, but I think it's not an accident. Early church fathers, those who were taught by the disciples, say that Mark was closely associated with Peter. And he probably used Peter as a source to write the Gospel of Mark. Of course, St. Mark knows Peter's mother-in-law's name, yet he does not use it. Why? I think Mark is telling us something. Mark is telling us that the Lord Christ attends to the anonymous, the forgotten, the nameless, faceless individual who is in need of consolation. She offers no prayer. She makes no overture toward the Lord. Yet he comes to her. He is the one who takes initiative with us, to serve us, to extend life to us. He does not grow faint or weary in his pursuit of us. Nor does he turn away when the road to service becomes dangerous. He comes to us in our back rooms, suffering with our own dangerous fevers. An exchange takes place, her sickness and his health. He takes what is ours and gives to us what is his. Sickness, demon possession, disease, sin, and death. He came to take it all. No magic wand. No incantation or hocus pocus. He just took her by the hand and lifted her up. And the fever left her. More than one biblical writer tells us about this blessed exchange. Isaiah writes, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." Matthew writes, "He took our illnesses and bore our diseases." Paul tells us that Christ became poor with our poverty. He became sin with all our transgressions. He became dead with the death of the whole human race. He takes what robs us of our humanity, and he restores us with his virtue, his blessing, his victory, his truth, and his love. And that is consolation. This life, as we know, is very often not pretty, not comfortable, not fun. And so people look for consolation. People go out of their way to cope with trouble in life, and they hold on to anything that they think will turn things around. An adulterous relationship? A bottle? Gambling, clothing, makeovers, food, shopping sprees, travel, philosophy, endless entertainment. Vanity, vanity, vanity. Looking for consolation in these things not only doesn't help, but very often makes the problem worse. It may reduce the pain temporarily, but it does not console. Our Lord brings us something more. Jesus took the woman by the hand and lifted her up. That exact same phrase is used one other time in the gospel narratives for the daughter of Jairus, his dead daughter. She too had no name. She lay in the back of the house, a 12-year-old, lifeless. The situation was not one that a consolation ribbon would do for Jairus and his wife. Christ, the consolator, moved directly to the child's side, took her by the hand, and raised her up. "Child, arise," he said. Resurrection is consolation. So the Lord's empty tomb is divine consolation for sinners who know that death is real. The Lord's empty tomb is divine consolation for sinners who know that death is real. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus, the Consolator, said that in John 10. He served Simon's mother-in-law with his life. She received it, and then what happened? She got up to serve others right then. What a better way to understand your life. What a better way to understand what takes place in here in this divine service and then what takes place out there in that world where you will walk. He serves you here. Christ the Consoler serves you through the Word. The Word preached that you hear and the Word received at this altar where He gives you His body in His blood for the forgiveness of all your sins. He consoles you with His resurrection present in His word and body and blood and sends you out to serve your fellow man. The great fever of your sin is not on you anymore. You are forgiven. Your shame has been removed and your guilt atoned for. You are embraced by the Father through the Son in the Spirit. You have been made new in Christ's blood. All this is consolation of the highest order. On the cross, as Jesus bore the weight of our horrible deeds, there was none to console him. Sacred head, horribly wounded, with grief and shame weighted down. In that act, in that sacrifice, your eternal consolation was in view. He died to bless you and sustain you. The Son of God Almighty died for you, so you would have real consolation. The Lord of heaven and earth died and console you in whatever grief this world brings. So receiving His consolation, we mount up. Courage is born of His consolation. Courage and strength and resilience and hope. His consolation provides momentum. We walk toward heaven, each day closer to consolation in a cup that overflows, as Psalm 23 says. We shall run in this life the race marked out for each one of us, we shall run and not be weary. We shall walk toward heaven, but we shall not faint, because Christ, the Consolator, is with us. In His name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.